Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you. We're going to talk about sensors and helmets today. We're going to talk about Clemson and the terrible, terrible disadvantage they have getting ready for this game. Because of practice time. Oh, no. This day in sports history, Bozo of the Day, Kevin Herr rants. You have lots of rants.
We'll see after Sunday how many rants I have.
About Saturday night.
That's what I mean by Sunday, because you know I may have to build up on it.
Well, we'll put extra patrols on the bridges for you. All right, let's see. Again, I've picked the Steelers to go to the Super Bowl.
I know. I'm very pleased.
Which you don't like.
No, it's not that I don't like it.
I mean, you are so superstitious.
I'm a little concerned about this game. Yeah, well, defensively.
I'm a little concerned about this game. Look,
defensively.
I have no concerns about the game.
No, you don't.
Not a one.
No, you don't.
Oh.
Happy birthday, buddy.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you.
You're 29 now, or...
No, I'm 58.
Finally hit 30.
I am not a person in any way, shape, or form that has any pretense about numbers and things like that. I could care less. You know what? Just another stage in life. So.
Now, when you were a kid,
uh-huh.
Did you still get the same amount of Christmas? You know, like, they didn't blend Christmas and your birthday together, did they?
Mm-hmm. See, I always got one gift for my birthday. Always.
See, I always
best one I got was I was 8 years old and I got a bike.
See, I always thought that was
terrific.
Yeah, if your birthday was around Christmas, I always wondered if it was a little rough. See, I don't have that problem because there's like 6 months in between, so I never had that issue.
Right, but you always take your birthday off like it's some sort of freaking holiday.
It is. The fact that I had another one makes it a holiday.
See, that stuff doesn't bother me. Well, okay, I guess I don't get bothered. All right, okay, I don't get bothered by much. I know that.
Beat me to that one.
Which drives you nuts. That does drive you nuts.
And you know what? I take the day because there's a lot of free things you can do on your birthday if you have your driver's license with you. You know, you get free breakfast, free movie, you know, free slot machine play sometimes. See the stuff you're missing out by not by working today?
I'm working today because I'm scheduled to work.
It's not my fault to coach. This happens to be a Thursday night coaches show.
Yeah, but I mean, I would have worked anyway. I've already worked all day today.
I wonder if see, they should do something for you there at the instead of a plate of ribs at dinner, you should at least get a cupcake or something tonight after the show.
Whatever. I'm not. Well, I don't do the... okay. Do I have a Facebook account?
Yes.
All right. Do I ever post anything on my Facebook account?
Let's see. In the last year or ever?
Ever.
No, I believe there was one or two that I did stumble across in the last 4 to 5 years that it's in existence.
Yes. Now, it was recommended to me by the Paterno family to get the account. And here's the reason why. They said, you should take it so that you have the domain name.
That's very true.
I said, okay. So I did that. And so that's why it's there. Now, it's also linked to your email. So today...
It's linked to my email?
I get messages that there's a message from my Facebook account on my email.
Oh. Okay, I understand now.
Yeah. So today, I did not open up my laptop to check my email until about noon today.
Bling, 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 bling.
You have 428 messages.
See, so that, people care.
That's a bit high. 428.
426 of them happen to be birthday wishes from Facebook. From people on Facebook.
Yes, it was. And one other email was from Game Notes, because I'm working the Big Ten Network tomorrow night, from Ryan Kelly. And the other one is, my payroll timesheet is due Monday. Everything else. Yeah. So to all of you who have sent a wish through Facebook... I've also had, how many text messages. All right. For all of you who sent me a wish through Facebook, thank you. It is deeply appreciated. I'm very, very touched. As for taking your day off and your birthday, the unemployment rate's up actually about 10 or 11%, despite what Lauren says. I keep working. So
think of all the freebie stuff you're missing.
Like what? I just spent 5 days at a casino and didn't gamble a dime.
Yeah, I know. So there's something seriously wrong there.
So that's out.
Yeah, I still can't figure that one out.
So I'm not going to accept that. Now, what else am I supposed to get free stuff for?
You can go see a movie.
I just saw Spectre.
Yes, but not the one. I mean a movie besides one that Sean Connery played, 007.
No. Did Daniel? There were seven. You know how many people were in the theater? Seven, including me. Seven people in the theater. Seven. So it wasn't highly attended. But I enjoyed it. It was definitely a top 10.
It wasn't Star Wars, I'm telling you that.
it was a top 10 Jim Bob Bond, no doubt. And when it comes out on video, I will probably buy it. I thought it was very, very good. So, movie, no. And look, I'm going to relax tonight.
How about breakfast? You mean you eat breakfast some days, don't you?
I usually have coffee.
Wow, you are Mr. Excitement. Cindy's on the line to chat with you, Steve.
Hi, Cindy. How are you today? Happy
Wonderful.
New Year.
Wonderful. Very happy birthday and a happy new year to you as well.
Thank you.
I don't know if you saw the letter that Adam Bredemann published, his kind of soliloquy, his thank you to all the people in the Nittany Nation, the fans, etc. I was just so impressed, and it just shows what positive young people are involved in the university and how classy they can be. And I'm just so impressed by him. I'm sorry that he has to end his career for an injury, But I'm sure that great things will come to him because he's obviously a class act.
I think the world of Adam Brenneman. I really do. Ever since he got here with the all the great work he's done with Uplifting Athletes, the fact that he got his degree in 2.5 years, always takes the time at a practice to come over, talk to me, say hi to me. He and I had a fun conversation, which was not fun in one way, but not fun in another way. It was the week of the Michigan State game, and he came up to me. He says, "Hey, Steve, how you doing?" I said, "Good, Adam. How you hanging in there?" He goes, "Ah, I'm hanging in there." He says, "You see everything, don't you?" I said, "Yeah." He says, "You probably can't talk about a lot of stuff, can you?" I said, "No." He says, "You probably know my situation, don't you?" I said, "Yes." He says, "You've never told anybody about it, have you?" I said, "No." But he did go. He did go to the December 10th game and did get, Kevin, you know what the prize was on December 10th.
I do?
Yeah, you got one for Christmas.
Oh, okay. Yes, the December 10th basketball game. Yes, it was a wonderful microphone, commemorative microphone with Steve's name on it and with three calls of Steve's basketball calls when you press the button.
Oh, Brenneman got two of Cindy, Brenneman got two of them.
Oh.
One that he keeps, and he told me he gave the other one to his father for Christmas.
Oh, isn't that nice? Isn't that nice?
I thought you were going to tell him you put it on eBay. That's what I was thinking about doing.
Yeah. Oh no, that's what Jack Ham would have done. All right.
Well, the other thing I wanted to say was,
but he's the best. I mean, Cindy, as nice as you think he is reading the letter, my point with the stories I've just been telling about him, he's an even better guy in person.
Well, I'm proud to say that he's part of the university community that I belong to. He makes us look good, doesn't he? Makes us look really good.
Yes, he does.
And the other comment I wanted to make to you was the other day you were interviewing that man, I forget his name, who's, I believe, an announcer for Eagles football.
Merrill Reese.
There you go, Mr. Reese. And he was talking about how the team wouldn't even line up correctly, and they would get all these penalties. And they blamed this on the coach. And I have to say, I just don't understand that thinking. These men are being paid hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars a year. And it seems to me that lining up correctly. Now, first, let me just, as a disclaimer, have I ever played football? No. But I danced ballet, and in ballet, you got to line up correctly. And, I mean, that's a fundamental skill, and you're supposed to line up correctly or it wrecks the whole appearance of the dance. And in the same way, the people are supposed to line up. And so I found that very suspicious that these professionals paid hundreds of thousands and $1 million a year failed to line up correctly repeatedly. And I don't hold the coach accountable for that. I hold those professional athletes accountable for that. This isn't junior high school football.
I'm nodding my head. I'm nodding my head in complete agreement with you.
This isn't junior high school football, for heaven's sake. This is professional football. How many games have you played? How many practices have you been? This is not some sophisticated concept beamed in from afar. This is, you know, a fundamental skill. Am I missing something?
No, you are not. I am in complete agreement with you.
And I'll tell you, my gut reaction was that those men sabotaged that coach. As I listened to that story, I thought, wow, they were sabotaging him and the team. And to what end? Why would you behave so unprofessionally? Wow. It was shocking to me to hear that, I got to say. Shocking.
Well, I'm in complete agreement with you that a professional athlete should know where to line up and how, because even if you're changing a scheme slightly during the course of the week because you're trying to give a team a different look, you've had all week to work on it, and you don't have to go to class. You don't have to do anything else except your job. So that part, now as for sabotaging him, part of what you're trying to do in your own life is to keep your job. You're trying to keep your job, too. So I'm not so sure you get too hung up unless you're one of the stars of the team. Yeah. I mean, you're trying, because there'll be somebody else coming in here. And if they're looking at a tape and saying, "What the heck is wrong with X? Why is he lining up like that?"
Right.
There'll be somebody else evaluating you. So that part, I'm not going to quite go there yet.
Okay. Maybe I jump to a conclusion. I'll accept that, criticism of my
observation. But I completely agree with you about their professionals. They should
highly
be able
paid.
To line up. Yes, highly paid. Yes.
Let me make this clear. They're not the flagmen down there running the traffic, for heaven's sake. These are
absolutely
highly paid people. Not the kid throwing the newspaper at my door. These people are paid a fortune to do what they do. Now, one last question.
Yes.
Have you given any more thought to my proposal about kicking the field goals? And I know that at the game, the other team's kid hit the upright. And you know what my husband immediately yelled? He didn't call it, so he can't.
Sadly, the thought crossed my mind as I was watching the game as well. I'm like, Cindy would have called. If he would have called it, Cindy would have given him points.
I would have given him. And you know, my son has proposed a nuance to this that I'd like y'all to think about, which is that where you strike the upright makes a difference in how many points you get. That we would assign zones, like paint zones divided into thirds, and you would get more and more points depending upon which one of those thirds you hit. But again, you'd have to call it, or you don't get it. You'd still get 1 point for putting it through, or 3 points, but you would not get extra points if you hadn't called it and it just happened to hit. Just food for thought. Think of how exciting it would be, the math that would go on, the calculating, the... if only he'd gone, Just think.
Well, unfortunately, Cindy, I just mastered the getting in the end zone with 6 points. So I'm still on the learning curve, okay?
Too much. It's too much. Oh, well. There'd be a lot. You know, Kevin likes to run those betting things, right?
I do not run anything like that. I don't know where you got that impression.
No, she got that from the state police.
I don't mean run it. I mean those people he reports on the betting.
Like yesterday, about who was going to get
so many points for getting into the Hall of Fame and all that stuff.
Okay.
So many votes.
All right.
That kind of thing. Just imagine how much frenzy could be about, which portion of the thing and if he'd only called it, and it would open a whole new door of conversation and speculation. Anyway, happy birthday to you, Steve. Thanks for listening to my rambling.
Thank you, Cindy. It's always
if you see Mr. Brenneman, you tell him I said he's a classic.
I will. See Adam. Adam will be at Sunday's basketball game. Thanks so much.
We're proud of him. Thanks. Bye.
Appreciate that. Thank you. I just mastered the fact that if they get in the end zone at 6, I don't know if I can handle all that. That might be beyond my comprehension skill there.
Off the right upright, through, into the net. You have to call it. It's kind of like that Jordan Bird, was it a McDonald's commercial years ago?
It was a McDonald's commercial, yes. Bottom of the hour, we'll talk about sensors in helmets, like the one Kevin's wearing right now on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. Kevin, only you. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Cambridge 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Still in mass panic over the Steelers on Saturday night.
No, not mass panic. Just general game day concerns.
I mean, you're panicked. Come on. Admit it.
Not yet. Not yet. Now, at halftime, that may be a different story. I have to admit, I was a little on the panic side at halftime this past Sunday.
Look, you're facing a backup quarterback. You're facing a backup quarterback. We're talking like you have it made. We're not facing Aaron Rodgers.
Have you seen the Steelers secondary?
A backup quarterback.
I mean, I don't think the Steelers defense.
Silver platter.
The Steelers defense isn't the worst defense in the NFL, but it's not too far from it.
He's a backup, even though he is your hand-picked Bengals quarterback.
No, I think he's the future, yeah.
And yet you're panicked about this game. You're the one that's been had it handed to you on a silver platter. Meanwhile, the Broncos today named Peyton Manning as the starter. I'm surprised it wasn't breaking news. Usually the sixth man can't play tonight for the Charlotte Hornets, but ESPN Radio will have breaking news on it.
Well, excuse me. I was going to say the Peyton Manning situation, I'm surprised they did that now.
I was shocked they made that choice.
I was shocked they made the choice. I'm just surprised they announced it now.
Look, it's going to be pretty obvious when they go out and see who's taking first-team reps. Okay? We're done. There's no need to say. I think all they had to do, what's today, Thursday?
Yeah.
Running through protocol, see how the foot is. It was fine. He's starting. Pretty easy call, I think. I don't think it was a very difficult call at all. It was all based on health. This day in sports history, 1972, the Lakers extend their winning streak to 33 consecutive games. Now, it ended the next game because Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and the Milwaukee Bucks beat them. The Bucks were the defending NBA champs. Also on this day, 1980, the Philadelphia Flyers extended their unbeaten streak to an NHL record, 35 consecutive games. Their season ended in Game 6 against the Islanders that year on Bob Nystrom's overtime goal, which Flyer fans to this day still say he's offside. The referees disagree. That's this day in sports history. Curtis Cruz, Head Health Network. To his credit, Curtis has more degrees than everyone in the building combined. And joins us now to talk about sensors in helmets and the partnership with Penn State. Curtis, welcome. Great to have you with us.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks a lot.
What sent you personally in this direction with, I mean, it's an important issue, but still it has to be an issue that intrigues you to get involved with. So what was it that triggered you to go in this direction?
I'll give you the abridged version. So as a product guy, you know, my life has been revolved around making equipment and making products that help kids and enjoy sports in a high level and in a big way. And got involved in designing protective equipment, specifically helmets, and started really researching and getting into the science behind how do we make better helmets, what can we do to better protect the kids, because concussions and head trauma in general is such a big problem. And after a few years of research, quickly realized that, you know, the physics of concussions and head trauma isn't really something that's going to be addressed meaningfully with just better equipment alone. And when we found that, to me, that was eye-opening and led to the realization that if we want to truly make a better impact and allow kids to continue to play this sport that we all love so much into the future, we need to find better ways to detect the injuries, assess the injuries, and then provide care for the injuries. And so that's what we did. We put together a company, the Head Health Network, that delivers those capabilities.
Because, let me put it this way. You cannot really design a helmet that's going to prevent one. As an absolute.
Yeah, I mean, you need to change the physics and the dimensions of a helmet dramatically, right? You need a helmet that was 3 feet thick to absorb the acceleration in such a, you know, it'd be like a car in a crumple zone. You need something that's going to reduce acceleration over 2 or 3 seconds as opposed to 6 milliseconds. And physically, you're just not going to get there. And you're going to be able to make small advancements, but none significant enough, in my opinion, that warrant a specific focus in that area.
So, Curtis, explain to us now, Head Health Network, you're partnering. So as you partner, what are you now attempting to do to make it better across the board?
So, you know, we aim to do different things at different levels. And so when you look at, for example, the youth market, everything high school and below, the standard of care for head trauma, it doesn't really exist. In your best case scenarios, you have athletic trainers at games, sometimes at practices, but you don't have people that have dedicated their lives to addressing head injuries and being able to assess injuries in real time. And so we provide a full package that handles the baseline testing, impact monitoring, real-time access to medical professionals on the sideline during practices and games, an insurance policy that covers the care, as well as a medical record through time. In an institution like Penn State, where they've already got such a high level of care, and the training staff and the medical staff there does such a good job, really the best way for us to assist and to help them is to provide that real-time impact monitoring, and we do that through a sensor system that we install into the helmets.
All right, so now, okay, explain that part to me. Okay, what, you know, how many sensors are inside the helmet, and what information does it give?
That's a good question. So we have one single unit inside the helmet, and that unit itself is made up of really three different sensors. So there's a single sensor that we call an accelerometer. You've got them in your iPhone or your other smart device, and it tells you basically how hard you're hit, and it reports that as in a G-force. We also have what we call a gyroscope, tells you how fast the head is turning, also a pretty common technology. What's really unique to our sensor system is we have a pressure-sensitive material that lines the inside of the helmet that identifies exactly where the impact is occurring on the head itself.
Wow, now that's important, because that now the area where the hit occurs, how important is it that you know exactly what area was that actually struck?
So, research is finding out that it's increasingly important. You know, it's something that if you look back through research over the past decade, there's a lot of ambiguous research, because it shows, you know, it tries to correlate simply G-forces with incidents of concussion, and it's really hard. You don't get a very clear correlation. The latest research being done in Canada and the U.S. and around the world is really starting to show that if you can start to identify where did the impact occur, what was the G-force, what was the rotation, what was the contact time, when you're able to start putting all those factors together, you're able to better predict the incidence of concussion and ultimately provide better care for the athletes and the players.
All right. So, all right. The next part of this is you talk about the care for the athlete. Where does this assist the medical professionals so they can be more specific about what they're dealing with?
So there's a couple of different ways that different staff can use the system. And so in some areas where you've got, say, an understaffed uh, training training team and you don't have eyes on every part of the field at any given time, you can use the system as another set of eyes to alert you when something potentially dangerous has occurred. And to be clear, right, we're not diagnosing, we're not predicting concussions with the sensor system. All right. We're doing is identifying potentially dangerous incidents so that you can provide the proper assessment and go through the right protocols and make sure everybody's okay. And so that's one good way to look at it. The other good way to look at it is if you look at all the data in total and you say, you know, I've got these two guys who spend every day at practice, every game next to each other on the line of scrimmage, they should have essentially the same number of impacts. And if one guy has dramatically more than the other, you can look and say, there's something different between player A and player B. Is that a technique thing? Is that a drops their head in a different way, right? So you can coach up and you can train and make sure that players are practicing in ways not only that are the safest for them, but also the most effective on the field.
In 20 years, the research on concussions has been dramatic and has improved dramatically. They're not home yet, but it's really improved. For you within this system, where were a couple of tweaks along the way with what you put in there that you think has made it better as you've gone through this?
Good question, too. Really, the most important tweaks we've made are not really technology-based. They're based more on making the system user-friendly and practical because, you know, there's a lot of great sensors on the market and that exist just in general. The problem is they're not always practical and effective in use. They, you know, oftentimes they're designed in a laboratory by scientists, and the scientists wonder why nobody adopts it in real time and why nobody actually wants to use it. And the trouble is that the systems aren't designed to be easy to use. And so we spent a lot of time in the equipment rooms working with those guys, working with the training staff to make sure that the data we're putting out is practical to use and that the system itself doesn't get in the way of the players in the way it needs to conform into the helmets and blend into the way the game is played.
Curtis Cruz, President Health, Head Health Network, is joining us on the show. You talked about youth. Is there a way to make this cost effective so it helps out youth programs, junior high programs, high school programs?
Yeah, I think it is. You know, every year sensor technology advances and prices come down. And so, you know, even now we've got a program that is, we think, very reasonable. And as time goes on, that cost will continue to decrease.
How important is it for people that use the system to believe it's actually an investment in youth?
You know, I think that's one of the key considerations, because if you're just doing it because you think you're supposed to, if there's no purpose behind it, then there's not going to be any adherence to the recommendations and changing the way that people think about the game and the way they play the game. And ultimately, that's what we need to do is change the mindset. You know, when I grew up playing football, and you guys probably too, you know, then there was extra time in practice. You'd line up and hit each other just for no reason other than you were wearing a helmet. You could. And that's the type of, you know, game that we need to evolve from, because while that maybe emphasizes toughness, it's unnecessary and not really the direction the game is going. And so anything we can do to evolve the way people think about the game but still maintain a lot of the things that we love about it is going to be good for everybody.
You mentioned the sensor being inside the helmet. Does the sensor pick up, for example, when the face mask is hit?
It does, yeah. So it's it doesn't need a direct impact on the sensor itself. It's much like, you know, the accelerometer and gyroscopes are you know, small devices that pick up any global motion or any general motion they see, and then the pressure monitors that we have in there that line the inside of the helmet that I mentioned, that will take basically the reaction force of the helmet pushing against your head, so no matter where you're hit, it sees that pressure and knows that an impact occurred.
Curtis, what is the feedback that you've had from athletic trainers and also from doctors?
It's been very positive. You know, from doctors, I think it's pretty universal that anything you can do to better monitor and better learn about what's happening on the field is a good thing. And I think the science will catch up with the information that's becoming available quickly. You know, right now, I think you could flood a doctor's office with data and intact information, and maybe it's not completely practical yet for them to make a diagnosis or a treatment plan based on that data. But ultimately, I think we'll be able to get to that point. And so I think that's one of the positive things that we hear from doctors is that that's the direction that medicine is going. And then from trainers, you know, it's important they appreciate that they have the extra set of eyes on the field and that they're able to put more facts and figures behind when they try to go and talk to the coaches and the coaching staff about how practice is organized and how do you find a better way to both protect the players and then also keep them fresh and performing at their peak levels.
Curtis, how important has the partnership been with Penn State?
It's been invaluable. You know, the whole training staff and equipment staff have been great to work directly with, been very helpful, provided great feedback, and been very, really independent with the system. You know, I'm based in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, so not able to make it up there all the time, and it's been great that they've been able to run the system, provide feedback, collect the data, and then work it into a bigger, broader research project that's bigger than what we're doing.
Curtis, absolute pleasure. Thanks so much. Appreciate the time. I think the audience really learned a lot from this.
All right. Thanks for your time, guys. I appreciate it.
Curtis Cruz from the Head Health Network. They have a partnership now with Penn State. Kevin will give a complete analysis of the importance of the interview in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. You can't make a concussion-proof helmet. You can't. It's just impossible. Especially with the material that they're using today. But you can come up with ways to somehow make things safer. The sensors, I think, are a very interesting concept. And Kevin doesn't know what I'm talking about. All right.
Actually, no, I talked about this the other day. I'm actually quite aware of the situation because my son was actually in a concussion study with Bloomsburg University. And virtual reality is one of the things they were using to test to come up with a better test to see whether kids are able to come back to play or when they are properly healed to come back to play.
Did he pass?
He did not get concussed, so he just took the baseline. What's the equivalent of a baseline?
Everybody has to take that. Anybody playing collegiate sports, I don't care if you're field hockey, football, basketball, softball, you have to take the baseline test when you begin.
Yeah, this was a test that was a little bit different than the baseline that you normally take, because this one went into a little bit more detail with the virtual reality headset and everything. But I'll have to get the folks at Bloomsburg University a call and find out how they made out with that. I know they used several local high schools in the research project.
And then we had this kid in there. Unbelievable.
Actually, he thought that the virtual reality part was the part he thought was great. This is awesome. Can you get a video game in here?
Unfortunately, his life is virtual reality. All right, so
you have no idea.
Oh, well. And then there's you. Yesterday, when I brought up Madden predicts the NFL playoffs, I thought you were going to fall down.
I thought I was in a different reality at that point.
I thought, all right, let's do a Kevin segment. Let's see how that goes. The feedback I got wasn't good.
If I was coaching the Steelers and playing the players, we would have won that game in overtime and not lost it the way Madden, the AI, did.
Yeah, whatever. Well, they obviously realize that Ben Roethlisberger hasn't won a playoff game in 5 years, too.
25 years since the Bengals have won a playoff game. Don't tell me about Irrelevant. Ben Roethlisberger.
Irrelevant. It only affects players who have played in the games. Hey, just because you as a fan see that, those stats are stupid.